This is the day that the Lord has made. What glorious music welcomes us into this time of worship as we gather for World Communion Sunday. On this Sunday across the world, Christians are gathering at the table of Christ. And so we have in mind those friends across the world who will be sharing at the table with us. And it's my joy to welcome those of you who are sharing at this particular table and those of you who are joining us over live stream. I'm glad that you're with us. And if you will take a moment to register your attendance, there are registration pads at the end of each row. If you'll sign in and pass those down. And if you're worshiping online, there's a link you can place in your browser to register digitally. If you are a college student or a graduate student, we are especially glad that you're with us, and there will be a lunch after this service. We'll meet Reverend Amy Baxter in what we call the narthex, which is that room right in the back, and you can walk to lunch together, and it will be the church's treat to share with you. I have a lot of other announcements, so let me get through these really quickly. So many things happening in the life of the church. This afternoon at 3 o'clock, there will be a blessing of the animals service right here on the West Lawn. This is a tradition honoring St. Francis of Assisi, and we invite you to bring your dogs, cats, hamsters, hedgehogs, whatever, for a blessing. It's a service about 30 minutes, a little over 30 minutes, and it's a beautiful day, so we hope you will bring those. At 4 o'clock, the American Guild of Organists is hosting a concert here featuring Andrew Reisinger. So unfortunately, you can't bring your dogs to both, and we're sorry that that happened on the same day, but hopefully you'll be able to choose one of those to participate in. This Wednesday, we will have a meal that we share together in the Fellowship Hall, McWhorter Hall downstairs. It will be followed by a workshop geared toward parents of younger children around raising kids with technology. And you can sign up through the website to attend that. On next Sunday, there will be a workshop geared more toward parents of preteens and teenagers around the same topic. And that will be at 5:30 in McWhorter Hall next Sunday. We are committed and excited about another Habitat House to build together, and the build starts this Friday. We need volunteers Friday and Saturday of this week, and so far, we need more volunteers. So it may just now be on your radar, but we hope you'll sign up to volunteer either to work or to provide food for those who are building. And there's also a build on the 21st of October. More information in the bulletin about how to sign up. Finally, as we move toward our 150th birthday celebration on October 15th, we want to collect your thanksgivings to God for how you've experienced God in and through this congregation. So out in Reed Hall, there is a board with post-it notes, and we invite you to take a moment and fill out a post-it note of what you're thankful for at West End and place that there. And we're going to use that to incorporate in some of our liturgy on the 15th. A reminder, there will be one 10 o'clock service on the 15th, fun on the grounds from 2 to 4, and then a hymn festival at 4 o'clock that day. Much to celebrate in the life of the church. We celebrate this morning that we're beginning our journey through the letters of Paul, and we find ourselves in the letter to the Romans today, which is all about grace. So let us open ourselves to the unconditional love and grace of God as we worship together.
please join me in the call to worship found in your bulletin. God of all people, today we offer ourselves as living sacrifices for the sake of your kingdom.
For you call us to worship as embodied by the way you live.
We give thanks that you call us to live, not for ourselves, but for the benefit of those around us.
Change our hearts today.
Let your spirit flow through us as we lift up prayers and songs and are filled with your word. God of all people, today we offer ourselves as living sacrifices for the sake of your kingdom. Trusting that God's love for us is unconditional and God's mercy is everlasting, let us make our confession with the confidence of children of God. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And now, O God, we offer you our individual confessions in silence. Hear this good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners, and that proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. And now, as a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you.
Oh, Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that the scripture read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Today, our lesson is from the New Testament, Romans 12, 1 through 18. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of yourselves more highly than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body, we have many members, and not all the members have the same function. So we, who are many, are one body in Christ. And individually, we are members one of another. We have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Prophecy in proportion to faith. Ministry in ministering. The teacher in teaching, the exhorter in exhortation, the giver in generosity, the leader in diligence, the compassionate in cheerfulness. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. And extend hospitality to strangers. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I'd like to invite all the children who are here in the sanctuary, if you'd like to come and join me up here. You'll have to go around this way because the communion rail is down. And if you're worshiping from home, just get a little closer to your screens and we'll share a moment together. Hi there. Thank you so much. Oh my goodness. It even has my name on it. Thank you so much. Very sweet. Good morning. Good morning. Well, today is a very special day in the church. It's World Communion Sunday. So Pastor Maggie helped put all of this beautiful altar rail together with the cloths and things from different countries all across the world. So we think about all the people all across the world who are sharing in communion today. I have a map of the world. It's actually written in Spanish. All the country names are in Spanish, which is kind of cool. Did you know that hundreds and hundreds of years ago, people thought the world was flat? Did you know that? Yeah, because they didn't have trains or planes or cars or ships. They had no way to travel very far. And so, you know, if you walk out your door, you look down and you think, huh, the world is flat. It makes sense. But then, a few hundred years ago, people started making ships, and they got to where they could sail around the world and end up right where they started. And so they figured out the world is round. And now we know astronauts go out into space and they look back in the Earth and it is round. So people had to learn and they had to change their minds. And I think, you know, changing our minds can be a good thing when we learn new things. We heard in our Bible story today a letter from a man named Paul who was talking to the churches. And one of the things he told them was to always be open to learn new things. There is nobody who knows all the answers to everything. We don't know all there is to know about God. There's always more to learn. So as you grow up in the church, as you go to Sunday school, when you become a youth and you start going to youth group, we want you to know that you can always ask any question you want to ask. And you can always learn more. And we, as grown-ups, can always say, you know what? That's a good question. I don't know. Let's pray about it. So let's pray together. Gracious God, we thank you that there is always more to learn about you and about each other. We pray that you'll help us to ask questions and wonder and dream and always be open to changing our minds and learning new things. In your love, we pray. Amen. All right, 3-, 4-, and 5-year-olds can go to Children's Church with Pastor Maggie and Miss Jennifer. And if you're older than that, you can go join your parents or friends. And thank you so much for my drawing. I'm going to keep it on my desk. Andrew called this my prop closet over here. That's where I hide my props for children's message. I have to confess it was a little bit of a challenge to think about how to talk with children about the letter to the Romans. Because this is a complex, deeply theological letter that Paul wrote. We have many letters of Paul, and over the next few weeks we're going to be hearing from some of them. We won't get to hear all of them, but they're very different from each other. We have Philippians, which is full of affection and kindness and support from Paul. We have Galatians, in which Paul is emotional in another way. He's sort of angry with the Galatians. He even says, "You foolish Galatians," at one point. But Romans doesn't have that kind of emotional investment from Paul. In fact, it's written to a community of believers that he most likely had never met. He was planning to go to Rome and from thence to Spain, but he's writing to a group of people that he really didn't have a relationship with just yet. Most scholars think this letter came later in his ministry when he has developed a highly sophisticated theology of who Jesus Christ is and what God has accomplished in the world through Christ. And it is layer upon layer of rhetorical argument. And as one commentator, N.T. Wright, said, if anyone claims to understand the letter to the Romans fully, they're mistaken. Because no one fully understands it. There's always more to learn from this letter. But what Paul seems to be constructing in the first 11 chapters of the letter to the Romans is an exhortation about grace. He's writing to Christians, some of whom are coming from the Jewish tradition, others of whom were coming from a Gentile tradition, very different, and is explaining to them because through the love of Jesus Christ that God has shared with the whole world, everybody is now included in God's grace. And that God's grace is offered to all people as a gift. There's nothing we can do to earn God's grace or to lose God's grace. It's not about following all the rules and doing all the right things. And when it comes to the community of Christ that's built around this grace, there's not one person who's more deserving than another. He moves toward, in chapter 12, this image of the body of Christ. We are all one in the body of Christ. And so he invites the Romans after he lays out this theology of grace, to think about how we live in light of that knowledge. Chapters 1 through 11, it's grace upon grace, theology, and rhetorical argument. And then chapter 12, he turns and says, therefore, so what? So we know all this about grace. What does that mean for how we live in the world and how we treat one another and how we understand our place and our relationship with God? And so you heard, as Anita read, there are lots of teachings toward the end of the text around show kindness to strangers, be generous, love what is good, hate what is evil, outdo one another in showing honor, these sort of ways to live it out. But before he goes there, he begins this chapter 12 with what I think are the crucial three verses to help us live into a community of grace. Paul says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to offer yourselves as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. Boy, we could just dwell on those two verses over and over again and never unpack them fully. What I hear Paul saying in that initial invitation is that if you are going to walk the walk with Jesus, if you're going to go on this journey of grace, if you're willing to accept that you are accepted, then now comes a life of living in that grace. Yes, he says in Romans that we are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ and not by works. But when Paul talks about being saved and salvation, it doesn't just mean I say I believe in Jesus and now I get my ticket to heaven and that's all that matters. In that way, John Wesley, the founder of Methodism, is very much in line with where Paul is. Salvation is not just about what happens after we die. It's what happens every day in our walk with God, growing more and more deeply in love with God and neighbor, growing more deeply into the likeness of Christ. And Paul says, in order to do that, we have to wake up every morning and offer ourselves as a holy and living sacrifice to God. We have to surrender over and over and over again all of those things that get in the way of receiving God's grace and of sharing God's grace. Maybe it's surrendering our ego. Maybe it's surrendering our self-doubt. Maybe it's surrendering our addictions. Maybe it's surrendering our certainty. I was at a clergy meeting this week. I'm not quite sure what we call ourselves. The West Nashville Clergy Alliance, I think, is the name we've landed on. We've been meeting for a long time, clergy of different denominations. And my colleague and friend Davy Tucker was there, and he said, you know, I think the deepest sin of our time is the sin of certainty. I'll say more on that a little bit later. But we do get entrenched in our ideas of who God is and our opinions of what's right and our perspectives of the world. And Paul seems to be inviting us to be open to God doing something new, to surrender and sacrifice what we think we know in order to receive what God has for us each and every day. Do not be conformed to this world, Paul says, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. This world would like for us to be certain in our opinions. This world would like to polarize us. This world would like to rank us in terms of who's more worthy and who's not. This world would like to invade our communion table and make it, instead of a place where all belong with equal belonging, a place where we're divided by rank and opinion and labels. But Paul says, do not be conformed to the ways of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. What if we came to Christ's table with the humility of recognizing we don't know everything. We don't have all the answers. And maybe we have something to learn for the person across the table. And what all we have to learn from our host in Jesus Christ. Why is it that there is this temptation, especially right now in this moment in our world, to be certain and to be so entrenched in our opinions? We see it all the time in our political world, our political leaders. It's like the worst insult you can say to someone who's running for office is, he changed his mind, or she flip-flopped on that issue. Really? Is it because maybe he learned more information that he didn't have? Or is it because she spent some time with people who are affected by this decision? Is it a bad sign for someone to change their mind? Or is it a sign that someone is open and willing to learn and to listen? Paul seems to be saying that openness and ability to listen and learn and change is one of the vital qualities of someone who's following Jesus. So today we come to the World Communion table. And we come not thinking more highly of ourselves than we ought, says Paul. We come to this table because we know we need the grace that's offered here. That's the only reason we come to the table. We need grace. And that's the reason everyone else is at the table too. And we're all in it together. And this is where we find the grace. And who knows what we might learn about each other? Who knows what we might learn about God that will stretch our understanding and our ideas and what we thought we knew? Can we come with uncertainty and discover the grace that is offered in that openness? Now, of course, there are some things we do know. Most of the things I can claim that I do know, I learned when I was their size. Jesus loves me, this I know. We are one in the Spirit, we are one in the Lord. He's got the whole world in his hands. These things I know. The rest of it, I've still got a lot to learn. Thanks be to God.
Friends, I invite you to stand and to share with me in confirming the substance of our hope, saying together our affirmation of faith that is grounded in Paul's letter to the Romans. You can find it in your bulletin. Who shall separate us from the love of God in Christ, or from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? No. In all things, we are more than conquerors through the one who loved us. We are sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. As we receive this good news, I invite you to sit and to rest in its goodness. This is now the time in our liturgy where we collect the prayers of God's people that we might journey with you through the joys and heartaches of your experience. You can share your concerns with our pastoral team by filling out a pew card and leaving it in the offering basket at the appropriate time, or by going to our Contact Us link on our website. I invite you this morning as we pray in petition for the renewal of our world to respond to my petition, the Lord be with you, with the response, hear our my petition, Lord, in your mercy, with the response, hear our prayer. So we can practice. Lord, in your mercy. Great. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Eternal God, through your word, you have gifted us with splendid visions of all the world, gathering in joyous communion. We rejoice in the hope of the nations coming together in peace on your holy hill. We rejoice in the hope of the day when all tears are wiped away at your heavenly banquet. And until then, we remain steadfast in praying for your transformative presence and power in our wounded and weary times. For those in the world whose daily lives are determined by the details of violence, poverty, and desperation, we pray your church would offer blessed rest, restorative justice, and compassionate mercy. Lord, in your mercy. For the war in Ukraine and all conflicts between nations, we pray your church would witness to and advocate in all places of power for the peaceable kingdom and the day when all weapons are transformed into the tools of beloved community. Lord, in your mercy. For the refugees who flee from nation to nation, finding no room within the borders of countries, we pray your church would offer hospitality, friendship, and a true home within the blessed binds of our life in your spirit. Lord, in your mercy. For the groaning and pains of earth, struggling to cultivate life amidst the relentless consumption of our collective greed, we pray your church would summon all people toward mutual sacrifice for the sake of our common flourishing, that we might discover a renewed sense of call in our vocation as creation stewards. Lord, in your mercy. All these prayers we ask, O God, knowing that it is only with the provision of your love and life that we can truly bear witness to the hope of a world communion. So in your grace, nourish us with your sustenance that we might truly grow into Christ's body, the church, with and for the whole of the world. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Friends, it is with great joy that we have the privilege of sharing our gifts with God. Our ushers will guide us in this practice of collecting the offering, and our plates will be passed through your aisle. We invite you to share your offering in that way. If you are sharing, or if you're worshiping with us online, you can follow the appropriate link at this moment to give with us. Friends, might we be generous in response to the God who is always generous with us, providing more than we could ever possibly ask or imagine.
Thank you.
and also with you.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right
and a good and a joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, gracious God, creator of heaven and earth. You have made from one every nation and people to live on all of the face of the earth. We are each one and all made in your image. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. He came into this world as a poor and vulnerable child. He and his parents were refugees, fleeing the violence and oppression of Herod and seeking safety in a new land. He opened his arms to children, whom he welcomed and blessed. He spent his ministry healing the sick, feeding the hungry, and breaking bread with the multitudes. He commissioned us to be his witnesses to the ends of the earth. And today, his family and all the world is joining at his holy table. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread. He gave thanks to you. He broke the bread and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup and again gave thanks to you and gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of your sins. Do this as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me." And so in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Holy Spirit, on us gathered here this day, and on these gifts of bread and cup. Make them be for us the body and blood of Jesus Christ, that we might be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. Renew our communion with your church throughout the world and strengthen it in every nation and among every people to open our arms to the children, our doors to the outcast, and our hearts to witness faithfully in your name.
One with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at the heavenly banquet. On this World Communion Sunday, we invite you to say this prayer of our Lord in your native tongue. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
I want to offer a few words of instruction as we come to this table. This is the table of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's the table of grace. His way is a way of peace and welcome. And so this table is open to all people who seek to live into that way of peace and welcome. You need not be a member of this church or of the United Methodist Church. You need not be a baptized member of any church to come forward and receive the life in Christ. If God is at work in your life today to move you toward response, please come and receive the elements. You will come forward to the rail with open hands. We'll serve our choir first, the balcony after, and then the transepts and nave. All of our elements are gluten-free. And if you are unable to come forward, or you choose not to come forward to receive the elements, but you would like to receive them from your seat, please signal to me. I will be making my way, and it would be my great joy to serve you where you are. It's been the practice of West End that the overflow of our life together and receiving communion would be good news for our neighbors. And so we invite you, as you come forward, you'll see there's two offering plates, as well as on the altar rail, places where you might leave a second offering that might be a means of blessing to our neighbors. Specifically, our October communion offering will be going to support our prison ministry. This money funds holiday meals, gift packages, and other needs within Riverbend, as well as asks of returning citizens. Friends, as today we lift up this bread, we raise our eyes to the life of this cup. We remember our siblings in Christ across the world who gather virtually and in person, breaking bread of every shape, color, texture, and taste. We remember those of the faith who cannot receive these gifts openly, and we remember and we receive on their behalf through the power and the unity of the Holy Spirit. Our gracious host has set the table for us to feast. Come taste and see that indeed the Lord is good. Please now stand and join me in our prayer after receiving communion. You have given yourself to us, Lord. Now we give ourselves for others. Your love has made us a new people. As a people of love, we will serve you with joy. Your glory has filled our hearts. Help us to glorify you in all things. Amen.
Through the grace and power of God, the world is about to turn, and God needs God's people to have eyes, minds, and hearts open, to be surprised by grace, and to share that grace with the world. Go in peace. Amen.